Time had no meaning. She slept, she supposed, and woke again. It seemed like a moment of inattention rather than normal sleep. Sometimes she heard voices around her, and sometimes they talked about her. More often they talked of other things. She came to know one woman's voice, and built from her gossipy chatter a picture of someone with bright, avid eyes and a pursed mouth. Then another, who never added to the gossip, but had a satisfied chuckle, as if she were glad to hear bad things about others. The doctor, who had talked to the lawyer, came in frequently, but she always knew him. Scents merged with sounds, with pressures. She knew the smell of her own body and its output. She hated the wet warmth that turned cold too often before someone came to change her. She hated the hands that turned and moved her as if she were a slab of meat. She came to hate with special fervor a flowery perfume one pair of hands wore, hands colder and less deft than the others, belonging to a sharp, whining voice that complained of her incontinence. Hate blurred thought. She fought it back. She could not afford that, any more than she could afford to go insane from the darkness and immobility. Instead, she scrabbled at her memories, struggling to rip another minute detail from the black fog. Gradually, she assembled them in order, like torn scraps of a picture laid out on black velvet. That first awakening, with the terrifying talk about drugs to inhibit, to decouple. It had come after whatever happened, but before, and in another place. Then only the odd glimmer, not even clear memories, until the doctor-lawyer conference. A string of clearer memories, then another lapse, after which she no longer felt the wetness of incontinence. From what she overheard, she had had surgery to implant controllable sphincters, however that worked. Since then, more and clearer memories, but still no return of function. She could not move. She could not see. She could not talk. Her mind slid inexorably sideways to the memory of riders she'd known with broken necks or head injuries. But those were injuries, trauma. This was something else. She was still thinking, and if she'd had her head crushed against a tree, she wouldn't be.
30 days plus. How many plus? Or is it how much plus?
For a moment, her mind chased that grammatical hair into a thicket of forgotten rules. She yanked it back out and slapped its nose. Only one thing mattered, and it certainly wasn't a point of grammar. She had to find a way out, a way to make some connection to the world. And yet she had to be sure it was the right connection. Whoever had done this would be watching, she was sure, for any untoward behaviors, any return of speech or movement. And how could she tell who was safe when she couldn't communicate? Someone had to know. Unless doctors had never known what they were doing, someone had to know she was still alive inside, still capable of thinking. Still thinking, in fact. Either someone wanted to torment her, and she couldn't think of a good reason, since apparently she didn't even twitch in ways that would amuse a sadist, or someone was concealing her remaining capacity. She liked that idea better. She had an ally somewhere, faking brain scans and whatever other tests the medical system used to determine that her brain wasn't working. It would have been easy to kill her, easy to do the damage that was supposed to have been done, easy to do that still, but they hadn't. She had an ally. If she could stay sane, maybe, just maybe, that someone would figure out a way to rescue her and undo the damage.
You're sure she's aware?
Lorenza had to ask again. She could not hear the answer too often.
Yes, ma'am. And as I said, the way it's set up, there's blind feed on her cables. It'll never show up on her scans now that she's got the implants.
Perfect. A delicious shiver fluttered inside her. Cecilia, helpless, motionless, blind, and knowing it. The only thing that would be better would be a very personal and private way to communicate, to let her know who was responsible. Unfortunately, that wasn't possible, and the original drug would have wiped out her memory of the reception.
You'll find your investment in Sultan Realty has paid unexpected dividends. It will be very profitable, I think you'll agree.
Yes, ma'am. But I just want to be sure you really understand the maintenance requirements. Because you wanted her aware, she's going to need regular maintenance doses.
Are you saying it's reversible? I told you it must not be.
It's not reversible, no. Not the main brain damage. But the dose wasn't as massive. It takes tinkering to keep her neuromuscular status where we want it, with normal maintenance at the nursing home feeding her other drugs. That's all.
Very well.
She didn't understand the medical details and didn't intend to learn. The important thing, all that mattered, was the thought of Cecilia. Arrogant, athletic, triumphant Cecilia, reduced to a flaccid, blind body that anyone could manipulate. She didn't even have to visit the place herself. It was enough to know that Cecilia inhabited a dark, friendless place where she was utterly helpless and from which there was no escape.
Your payments will arrive quarterly. That's the normal schedule for dividend payout from Sultan Realty. When it's time for you to invest in another company, your broker will inform you.
She cut off the call and sat poised in her tapestry chair, looking around her exquisite sitting room. All the lovely colors Cecilia would never see again, all the sensual pleasures of silken clothing, savory food and drink, fresh flower-scented air, favorite music, sex. Her brother, the Crown Minister, found her pensive in the firelight, hand pressed to her cheek, and tea cold in the cup beside her on the table.
What's the matter? Are you ill?
It's that poor woman. That poor, poor woman, stricken like that. I just can't stop thinking about poor dear Cecilia.
Harris faced Brunn over the dining table in her suite at the fanciest hotel the station offered. One waiter hovered, serving expensive food Harris didn't want, but had to pretend to eat. Brunn, still playing the spoiled rich girl, gobbled eagerly. Finally, she chose the most elaborate of the dessert pastries offered and waved the cart and waiter away.
Oh, we'll ring when we're through, thanks.
As they left, she picked up the pastry and bit into it, showering flakes in all directions. When the door closed, she took a small gray wand out of her pocket and handed it to Harris with a grin. Harris picked it up and scanned the room. Apparently clean of recorders, spy eyes, and such, and this wand, activated, made as good a privacy shield as civilian life afforded. She turned it on its side and placed it between them.
So, you've taken my advice in that direction?
Of course. I told you I was serious. Ronnie said you wanted to see me about his Aunt Cecilia. I thought I should make it easy to explain.
Good for you.
You know what they're saying about you.
Ronnie told me some of it.
Ronnie only knows what his parents tell him. His mother's telling all her friends that you're the most dangerous woman since that charlatan built the Cousin sisters out of their fortune by pretending to contact their dead lovers, and then killed them to cover up when their nephew found out about it. She nearly killed him, too.
I never heard of that.
No, you wouldn't have. But the thing is, Berenice is telling everyone that you must have had that kind of influence on Lady Cecilia. She even thinks that stuff on the island didn't really happen, and that you hypnotized Aunt Cecilia into thinking it did. Dad's not here, or he'd set her straight about that. She's hinting that you even did something. No one will say what. To cause the stroke. Ronnie thinks his mother's upset about the redecorating, but I know it's more than that. I'm just not sure what.
I had thought of going down to see her, of course.
Oh, no, better not. I don't think Berenice would let you see her. You're not family, and she's got a right to decide who else can visit.
What about you?
Me? Oh, I'm not family or one of Cecilia's friends, but I suppose I could be Dad's representative, sort of.
Exactly what I thought. Did Ronnie tell you about the will?
Will?
I presume he didn't, then. It will come out later if there's a competency hearing or if Lady Cecilia dies. Apparently, she changed her will almost as soon as she arrived, and she left me, a substantial legacy. The yacht.
So that's what...
That may be part of it. She didn't tell me she was doing this, or I'd have talked her out of it, of course. But the point is that if there's a chance the stroke was caused by a drug or something, then I'm the obvious suspect. It's understandable that her family would resent the bequest and that it would make them suspicious of me and my motives. They're not going to listen to anything I say. But I hope you will.
What else?
Quickly, Harris outlined the attack on Sirkin and Irulan and what she had found out about its background, including the dishonesty of Cecilia's former captain and the loot found aboard the yacht at Tacaman Roads.
So you see, I worry that her stroke was drug-induced. The guilty parties are working for the Compassionate Hand in retaliation for having their comfortable little smuggling ring disrupted.
Oh, my.
Brun's face shifted from one expression to another, fluffhead to practical young woman, as she thought about this.
Is that what Ronnie meant when he said his aunt had been to see the king? Was she complaining to him about the regular space service, perhaps? It wasn't stopping smugglers, but it had dumped you and promoted that horrible admiral.
Perhaps.
Harris didn't want to mention the prince if it could be avoided. That was another motive for an attack, but one that she had no way of investigating.
My thought was this. It's not unknown for the Compassionate Hand to suborn medical professionals. There was a case in the Chisholm system where doctors certified that someone was paralyzed when he was only drugged. It was meant to terrorize business associates, which it did, and of course it was also terrifying for the victim.
Who had died before he could be rescued, but the evidence had been clear enough. The RSS had found the cube records of the drugging and the results.
If you can visit Lady Cecilia without arousing suspicions, and without it seeming to be my suggestion, perhaps you can ascertain if she really is brain damaged or not. We can set up a discreet way to keep in touch.
I see. I suppose you don't have any outrageously handsome young men in your crew, do you, that I could pretend to have fallen for on the voyage?
No. In fact, all those people quit. The only crew member from the voyage you were on is my navigator, Brigdis Sirkin, and she just suffered a loss herself. Her lover was killed in that brawl.
Oh, yes. I remember you telling me about her. I think I'd like to meet her. It would be in my character, even as Bubbles, to be wildly sympathetic.
She's not expendable, Brun. I don't want her hurt.
I won't hurt her. I'm not that stupid. I'm sorry she lost someone she cared about. That's true. And I will be careful. But I can call her or meet her, even though she's your crew, if there's a good reason for me to be interested otherwise.
Just be careful. She's a good person. And I'll have to ask her.
Not even for Cecilia would she expose Sirkin's pain without her permission.
Let's see. Why not have her escort you to the storage company tomorrow, assuming you really should carry out that errand? And I'll have briefed her on the situation. Then it's up to the two of you to make it understandable that you'd keep in touch.
It's always understandable when rich young people and not so rich young people start spending time together.